Meat.
Oh, hey, BT.
How's your day going, man?
It's good. How are you?
That's great. I mean, so far, so good.
Yeah, we're here. We're alive.
Yeah. I mean, it's half the battle.
Yeah.
What are we fighting over today?
We've got some Cardinals tickets. We've got the right prize today, by the way. Friday, August 23rd, the Cardinals host the Rockies. That night, 30,000 fans, 16 and older, will add a mesh pullover Cardinals jersey to their wardrobe. It's courtesy of Bayer. You can get your August 23rd tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions.
All right, let's bring in today's fighter. It's Derek. Derek, what's up, man? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. Living the dream here. We're having fun on what's today? Wednesday?
It is a Wednesday.
Hashtag fun.
Oh,
Time to hump. Yay, cool.
When was the last time Randy has done a 20 hashtag post? Has it been a while?
Probably Friday.
Yeah, chances are.
Or Monday, even.
He had one last week where he typed that he was running out of characters, and it was like half. It ended halfway through, like running out of car.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Running out of what?
Car.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Yeah,
I like that. So anyways, we're having a great time here, but we'd like you to just beat up on Randy if you could. You ready?
Yeah, now that I find out he's a hashtag abuser, that just gives me more motivation.
He really
you
is.
You didn't know about this?
Oh, yeah, he loves to do it.
And
bad. He also likes to take the selfie and does the creepy smile.
Yeah, he does.
It's pretty, basically exactly how it comes out, right?
Yeah, like, it does.
Oh, we got a hashtag here. This was at the Muni. It was hashtag Muni101, hashtag fun, hashtag yay, hashtag paint your wagon, hashtag good times, hashtag good popcorn, hashtag rocky tops are great, hashtag Forest Park, hashtag it's a musical, hashtag play, hashtag old school, hashtag 1849, hashtag San Francisco 49ers, hashtag Joe Montana, hashtag time for the anthem.
It's just, there's no way. That's all in one tweet?
Yeah, right here.
What in the hell? What is wrong with him?
He likes hashtags.
I mean, I've heard that's
a great way to get followers because people follow hashtags. I'm not as savvy on social media as Randy is. So anyways, yeah, he's a hashtag abuser, Derek. You ready?
I am.
Here we go. Question number one. Chris Sale just recorded his 2,000th strikeout. He now has the major league record for fewest innings pitched to get to that 2,000 strikeout mark. Who had the previous record set in 2002? Was it Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, or Roger Clemens?
I'm going to go with Pedro.
Question number two. Jimmy Baseball, that's Jim Edmonds, he'll join us later in the show.
Allegedly.
He is fourth on the Cardinals. Yeah. He's supposed to join us today. He is fourth on the Cardinals' all-time home run list with 241. Other than Stan and Albert, who is the only other player with more home runs in a Cardinals uniform than Edmonds? Is it Ray Lankford, Mark McGwire, or Ken Boyer?
I'm going to go Lankford.
Question number three, Derek. On this date in 1993, the Yankees retired Reggie Jackson's number 44 jersey. The Yankees retired the number 8 jersey twice for two different players. One of those players is Bill Dickey. Who is the other? Is it Yogi Berra, Roger Maris, or Mickey Mantle?
Yogi Berra.
And question number four. I don't know if you know this, Derek, but I pitched for the Royals for a minute. Did so in 2010, actually. Didn't play too much, but I appeared in 16 games and threw 19 and two-thirds innings. And for some reason, probably because Meat's a jerk, we're going to give you an over-under of 4.5 home runs allowed in those 19 and two-thirds innings. So do you believe I gave up more or less? Are you going to take the over or the under of 4.5 home runs in 19 and two-thirds innings?
Oh, you know, BT, I love you, man. I'm a big fan, but given the fact you called me the jerk, I'm going to have to go with the over.
Thank you.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you for having my back.
Can't tell you how you did on that one.
And that was a Mike Ryder question, by the way, so it's not even my fault.
Mike Ryder sat down long enough to do a question. Now that he doesn't have the scoots anymore from Mexico, let's bring in Randy.
I think he's been over the scoots for a while now.
I don't think so. He said he's not quite right still.
Seriously?
I'm assuming he's still talking about the tacos.
He's been
kind
of messed up for a while.
Hey, tacos are killing
people
these days.
How do you feel? How do you think this went?
I'm feeling all right.
All right, good. Good.
But we got some hashtags coming in on the text line.
Do we?
Yeah, hashtag Randy ain't blank. Hashtag I'll beat the brakes off of Randy.
Oh, hashtags.
So a lot of people are
Love it.
Are ready.
Randy, we were just talking about how you really enjoy the use of a hashtag every once in a while.
I do. I love hashtags.
And we may have pulled up a tweet from you at the Muni where you used like 20 of them.
Wasn't that awesome?
It was fantastic. Hashtag, hey, how did the 49ers get in?
It was the show was Paint Your Wagon. It was about the gold rush.
Okay. Way to bring it back full circle, Randy. Sports guy through and through, even though he's taking it to heart.
Even Patrick got a huge laugh out of that.
That's fantastic. Did you say hi to Derek already?
Hey, Derek, how you doing?
Hey, Randy, how are you?
Good. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing.
Hi, Randy. You ready for this?
Ready.
Let's do it. Question number one. Chris Sale just recorded his 2,000th strikeout. He now has the major league record for the fewest inning pitched to reach that milestone of 2,000. Who had the previous record set in 2002?
Pedro Martinez.
Question number two, Jimmy Baseball allegedly will join us in the show today.
Yeah.
Fourth on the Cardinals' all-time home run list with 241. Other than Stan and Albert, who is the only other player with more home runs in a Cardinals uniform than Edmonds?
So you've got Stan and Albert, 475 and 445. And let's see. Was it Raymond Langford? He had a lot. He had more than anybody else at Busch, too. 241 was that number?
241, yes.
For Jimmy Baseball? I don't think Johnny Mize ever got that high. So I think I will go. Maybe Ray. I'll do Lifeline.
Is it Ray, Mark, or Ken Boyer?
Mark who?
McGuire.
Oh.
Reynolds.
So let's see. McGuire, 24 plus 70 equals 94, right? Plus 65, that's 99, 109, 159, plus 32, 69, 710. No, he didn't get to 200. I'll go with Ray.
Question number three, Randy. On this date in 1993, the Yankees retired Reggie Jackson's number 44. Mm-hmm. The Yankees retired the number 8 jersey twice. One of those players was Bill Dickey. Who was the other?
I think that might have been a native of the Hill right here in St. Louis. And it wasn't Joe Garagiola.
I bet it's the place Meat lives in now. It hasn't been cleaned since then, but yeah.
It's Yogi Berra. You know, Yogi Berra's address on the Hill is readily available. Where he grew up. Let's see if it's near where you grew up, okay? Or where you live right now for the next, what, day or so?
Technically, I guess. I have the rights to it. I've been gone since the weekend.
How's the new place?
The new place is fantastic, by the way. Yeah.
Meat has had some mold issues in his rented house.
I wouldn't say some.
Yeah.
We saw the results.
It's legit.
Yeah, it's legit.
Yeah, I thought he was just really complaining about
5446 Elizabeth.
Is that close to you, Meat?
I don't know.
All right.
I'll look it up on a map, and I'll let you know.
Sounds good. Randy, question number four.
Oh, I thought that was four. Okay, let's do
it. Nope, still got another one. Hey, you know I pitched for the Royals, right, Randy?
Yeah.
In 2010. Not a ton. Only appeared in 16 games, spanning 19 and two-thirds innings, okay? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an over-under of 4.5 home runs. Did I give up over 4.5 or under 4.5 home runs in 19 and two-thirds innings?
I'm going to bet the under, BT.
Thanks, Randy. We got a winner. Sorry, Derek, you jerk. He got you there. Let's start with the most important one. Yes. It was under.
Oh, good for you, man.
4.5 home runs, and Derek, you're not a jerk. You're
How many
a really
was
nice
it?
Guy. I don't know, it was less than that, probably four.
Four.
Yeah.
Four.
Oh, yeah, it says here four. It is Pedro Martinez. He was the fastest until Chris Sale to get to 2,000 strikeouts. Ken Boyer, 255 home runs with the Cardinals. Only one with more in a Cardinals uniform than Edmonds, if I'm reading that correctly, besides Stan and Albert. Yes, it is Yogi Berra. Him and Bill Dickey are the two number eights that the Yankees have retired, and it is under four. Derek, man, thanks for playing and try again.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, Derek. Good to have you with us on 101 ESPN.
To be fair to BT, he had some bashers on the other side that he faced. Jim Thome.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was a sinker. It was off the plate. He flicked his wrist, and he put it right, Oppo Taco, right over the wall.
It made me a little angry. That was my first game I pitched with the Royals, I'm pretty sure.
Do you remember any others?
Well,
Poppy got
Poppy.
You, right?
Poppy. That was the last home run I gave up as a member.
One of your nemesis?
I get another one?
Yeah. Brannion.
Brannion got me when I was with the Royals, too?
Yep. And Alex Rios.
Oh, really? Alex Rios.
I don't remember the
Alex
Rios. I
always thought
Rios
he
one.
Was pretty good until he wasn't anymore.
Well, it happens to all of us, you know?
Yeah. He was good, and then he wasn't. Then he was good again, then he wasn't.
Didn't the White Sox pick him up with a bunch of money left on his contract?
Yep. They just claimed him off waivers.
Yeah. You know what the all-time great was for that? Was when Randy Myers got picked up, I think, by San Diego on waivers, and he had a bad elbow. And he had, like, $30 million left on his deal, and he couldn't throw. I think either Toronto picked him up from San Diego or vice versa. But they got stuck with him, and he couldn't pitch anymore.
How do you sell goods like that? How does that work?
He was just on waivers, irrevocable waivers. Yeah.
Oh, so, well.
Roll the dice. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, and it is coming up on 416. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Next up, do you ever feel like the Cardinals do a lot of things that may not make much sense to you? Well, we feel that way, too. Let us know what makes that list for you. Leave us a mic drop with the 101 ESPN app or send us a text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. You are next on 101 ESPN.
See, I just want to know if he's turning left or right.
I bet left. Because generally,
it was a left turn?
Yeah, for sure it was a left turn. Because you tend to wait longer for left turns. Right turns end up just emerging.
True.
They happen.
Good point.
So that's what I'm thinking there. The spin thing is, you have to spin when the move isn't right or you make the wrong move. So if we're going chicken or egg here, I think I'm going egg more so than chicken. And I'm making egg the move as opposed to the spin. I'd rather see the move or the lack thereof rather than caring about the spin. You don't generally have to spin good things. I don't even make sense to myself right now. I don't know what I said.
I don't know, man.
Anybody
I don't
get
know
that?
About anything.
I think so.
It happens all the time.
It's got to be your bull. You get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up. I don't know.
So this one is from me. He passed this along to me from Derek the Fighter, who for some reason absolutely refuses to download the 101 ESPN app and send us a mic drop. But you should do it because it's totally free.
Yeah.
He says, if Mo isn't the GM anymore, why is he front and center at every press conference while Gersh sits there and says nothing?
I think that's a lot. That happens a lot in baseball.
That's the baseball
trend now.
That's
the way it is in Chicago,
now.
Right? Yeah. Theo is really the front guy and the spokesman, and Jed Hoyer, not that he never says anything, but it's kind of the same situation there. And I believe it's the same situation in Toronto where the former Indians GM Chris Antonetti is their Pobo.
Yep.
And he does most of the speaking.
So, and I think a lot of times when you make moves like this, a lot of times you're making moves so you can keep somebody too. So you'll give somebody more responsibilities. You give them a title, and very important also, you're going to give somebody a raise also to keep them within your building. And I'm sure that's the case with Gersh. We saw scouting director Randy Flores. Randy Flores was also, his job changed too. It was scouting director, assistant GM, I think that's what the title is with Randy.
Yes,
his changed it as well, and that's kind of part of it. It doesn't mean that Mo is still not incredibly hands-on with everything, and it doesn't mean that Gersh does nothing either. It's a collaboration, and a lot of it's a title move.
And that's the big thing, because you want to protect your baseball intelligence, and I know that fans are going to roll their eyes, but the fact of the matter is the Cardinals lost Luno, they lost Segmedal, they lost Mike Elias, they lost Dan Kantrovitz, they lost Chris Correa, and when somebody comes to take Mo away, Mo's a smart baseball guy, and they also want to take Gersh away. So what you do is try to protect those guys by giving Mo the promotion and giving Gersh the raise and promotion so that you don't have more brain drain from your organization. Let's hear from Steven on 101.
One thing that frustrates me beyond anything, it's been going on for a few years, even before Shield was here, and it's the lineup that they put out there on a daily basis. They're supposed to be analytically driven, but I think we're being driven off the cliff by people who aren't using analytics. You frequently play guys that don't deserve to be out there, that probably don't give you the best chance to win either, and we're, like BT said, we're one game out. We're in a tight division. Every game counts. We tried to tell that to Matheny. Now let's tell it to Shield.
I would guess that he's talking about Carpenter first and foremost.
Yeah. So here's where I go back and forth on this. And fortunately, I'm not a manager, so it doesn't matter. I love the idea of putting your best team out there every day. I love it. But I also realize and know from just being in there day in and day out that there is a long play. And the long play is you have guys with track records that have done it before. And just using Matt Carpenter as an example, while we've watched him all year and you haven't said, he's close, like he's going to be that guy, I firmly believe this, not saying that it's going to happen. I just believe that Matt Carpenter's upside is a lot higher than any of the young players that you've brought up and have around. It's higher than Lane Thomas's. It's higher than Randy Arozarena's. Maybe not O'Neill, if in fact O'Neill does what he's supposed to do and just hits a ton of home runs. So I understand the idea of wanting to get him right, and I do believe that there's a balance that comes with it. But at the end of the day, your job is to win ball games. So I don't think it's as easy as just put the guys out there that give you the best chance.
Well, I will go along to an extent with what the mic drop says, and that's my main issue with right now. And it's not the only thing, but I think for the time being, the thing that I don't really quite understand, and I've said it before, I don't like Tommy Edman batting second. It doesn't make any sense to have him up there. In the month of August, his OBP is 292. That's brutal. And it's really bad to have that in front of Paul Goldschmidt and Marcell Ozuna. If you want to get somebody who gets on base, and maybe it's because Colton Wong is comfortable where he is, but I get the idea that Wong would be just fine if they moved him up in the order in front of those two guys, because he has a high on-base percentage right now, one of the highest on the team. So if you really want to maximize what Paul Goldschmidt can do for you in terms of production, and the same thing for Marcell Ozuna, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have Tommy Edman batting second right now.
The biggest thing for me, and Raj, I know that you're completely 100% on board with what I'm going to say, is the Cardinals have made a lot of questionable signings over the last 5, 6, 7 years and gambled away and basically wasted a lot of money. When they decided not to gamble on Louis Robert, that was just, I think, a devastating blow to the organization. You can have him for no players. All you have to give up is money. You're trying to replace Oscar Tavares, and he was, by all accounts, the best prospect in the world. And the Cardinals wouldn't go and give him the money. And going back to Jen Langosh's story at MLB.com when he signed, according to Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com, the White Sox paid Robert a bonus of about $26 to $27 million to add him to their system. That would represent the second highest bonus for an international amateur under the signing guidelines. And the Cardinals would have had to pay dollar-for-dollar tax, so it would have been $52, $54 million. And I think that that's a move that should have been made. That's got to be within the budget that you set.
It is not money. It's not franchise crippling money if they decide to spend it on him and it doesn't work. You do have him under control for a considerable amount of time, and you're not giving up any other assets to do it. So maybe he doesn't turn into a really good major league player, but that's the kind of guy I take the chance on. And it does seem like there were some other teams willing to do it. Certainly the White Sox are willing to do it. I like that they are willing to spend money. I'm not always on board with the places they decide to put it. It's like they're calculated risks. Like, they will spend a lot of money on Matt Carpenter, even though they didn't need to do it. The trend from him at the end of last season, and he had a great August. His September was bad. He did not look good in September. And I know he's got a track record, but that was something they did not need to do in the moment, especially given the free agency landscape and players are just not getting the money they used to. They could have waited on him.
Back in 1997 and 98, Dick Vermeil worked the Rams' tails off at this time of year in training camp. They worked really, really hard. In 99, Mike Martz came along and DV said, you know what? We've been working hard. We need to work smart. The Cardinals need to do the same thing. They've been spending a lot. They need to spend smart.
I totally agree with that.
The Carpenter one is we're just going head scratchers. To me, that's the biggest one that I can think of in a long, long time, knowing you have the extra year. We did get a text into the Hot Shots text line, 65780, talking about a head scratcher. And this is just a kind of a random one since it's been the same so long. But the Cardinals changing their logo.
Yeah. Is a little bit of a head scratcher.
That is kind of a weird one.
Do we still have any idea why?
No, the team hasn't said anything about it, have they?
And they're really small changes. It's not like it's not significant.
We got to text it because when you look at them, it's kind of more rounded and stuff.
Smoother.
The text that we got was the Cardinals appear to be doing the same thing as their baseball team, taking the edge off. So real nice. Yeah.
Well, it's that I don't really understand. I'm not sure what the intent is, because if you just look at the logo and you weren't told something is different, you probably wouldn't notice that something is different.
All right, we've got more mic drops here at the 101 ESPN app. Here's our next on 101.
Here's what drives me crazy about this team that I don't understand. I'll give you an analogy. I buy a used car, the head gasket goes bad, I invest in it. And then all of a sudden, the transmission goes back, I invest in it. And I keep trying to drive this thing. Then all of a sudden, I got a catalytic converter. You know what? Sometimes it's time to stop and go buy a new car, regardless of what you invested in the old car.
It's well put.
I got to be honest, I heard other people talking and I didn't get the whole thing.
Yeah, it was, why do you invest in an old car? Why do you, essentially...
Because it's reliable?
You're throwing good money after bad is what the belief was.
Because maybe you could buy a lemon afterwards.
The lemon law.
It happens.
And then I believe we have Kevin next with the mic drop on 101 ESPN.
Literally, the Cardinals' MO. Well, even though he's no longer with us... If number 6 can come back from the dead, I have a pretty good feeling we're going to be a good team going into the playoffs.
You know, that's not terrible.
I haven't heard that really take, good. But that honestly,
that is not a terrible impression.
It's a tad bit snarky.
It is snarky, but it kind of does sound like him.
I don't think number 6, even when he was with us at the end, was going to help out a ton. But, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have Jay using the 101 ESPN app.
I'll tell you what doesn't make sense, that the Cardinals get rid of coaches who are too old school. Derek Lilliquist and now the Buddha, these guys have a proven track record of being winners, being able to coach players, but they have an old school philosophy, so you get rid of them? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Come on, pull your head out of your ass.
I'm going to tell you right now, I love the intensity.
I do too.
100% love the intensity. Now, when it comes to the Buddha thing, I don't think that they let him go because he has an old school philosophy. If you didn't know what his philosophy was coming into it, shame on you. Like, he's been in your organization for a long time. You knew him. It's more so that the boys weren't getting along, apparently, and that was the issue, and the Cardinals already had their trend. And on the flip side, I love Lilly. Lilly was the first pitching coach that I ever had. He is old school. He's a, you know, get it and throw it guy. I would take Mike Maddux as my pitching coach and be very happy about it.
I'm with you.
I'm with you on that one, too.
And as far as new school versus old school, Robert Van Skoyak had a high school career at which he went 1-for-10. He did hit .314 in his junior year, but in his senior year, he went 1-for-10. That was the last organized baseball he played. But it wasn't the last organized baseball that Robert Van Skoyak participated in. He's now the hitting coach for the L.A. Dodgers, who happen to be a pretty good offensive team, and he is all about analytics. And one of the things that Andrew Friedman said during the spring was, it used to be that all we focused on analytically was preventing runs. We want to move analytics now to scoring runs. And so the Dodgers have a new approach, and that's the way the Astros have gone, and that's the way the Cardinals want to go.
And Jeff Albert has some experience in that Astros organization. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt for them to maybe poach a little bit of that. And was poach the wrong word? Maybe that's it's not a bad idea for the Cardinals to get a better idea of what they do. And I don't think this is really about new school versus old school. This is what BT said. It's just about the two personalities couldn't find a way to work together.
Let's get one more, and this is Joe.
Yeah, this is Joe. Why do they keep playing Jose Martinez? I know he's on the DL, but they should not be playing him to begin with.
He's on the IL because it's 2019, because he was one of your hottest hitters for a long period of time. He did cool down quite a bit. But overall, when you're looking just at consistency, you feel like he can give you a little bit of that. But maybe, I mean, it speaks more to the depth of the team or maybe lack thereof than it does anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the issue. They're probably waiting on him to sort of turn things around, but the truth is there. He just really wasn't all that great. I think he was about a league average player if you go back and look at the last 2 months, but he wasn't anything like he was last year when he was hitting well over 800 in terms of an OPS.
And a couple of texts, this from the 636. RK, who would you rather have, Luno or Gersh under Mo? That's from Big Al, who hits dingers.
Yeah, he does.
I would, if you could get Luno to come over here and be the Cardinal general manager, I think with his track record, I would like to have what he has done in terms of their professional scouting, finding, making the deal for McCann last year, signing Reddick, and doing a really good job there with him. The trades that he's made with the people that he's traded have been really good. Now, your ownership has to be on board with that in making trades for guys like Verlander and Cole and Zach Greinke. But if they're on board, then that's a huge advantage. But, yeah, I think right now, because of his recent history, despite the fact that that world championship team was primarily inherited by the Ed Wade regime, Altuve, Springer, Mariznick, Marwin Gonzalez, Dallas Keuchel, that group was pretty much put together by Ed Wade. But since those guys have left, they've done a really good job of supplementing. And I think we could say reasonably that the Astros are the best team in baseball right now.
Well, I would just think that just if you're picking between this, and I know it was the text that you got in, it's that's not a fair choice. Really.
No, it's not.
You're choosing between somebody that's established and already done a ton of things. Not to say Gersh can't do these things in the future, given the assets that Luno's had, but... yeah, I'm going to go with that one as well.
It's the Fastlane on 101 ESPN, and we really do appreciate your mic drops, and we always invite them. Whatever we're talking about, if you ever have your phone with you and you want to use the mic drop feature with that 101 ESPN app, and as Ron's noted, it's free.
Yeah,
don't cost nothing.
Yeah, come on, Derek the Fighter. You just heard how great all those mic drops were. You could have joined in on that fun by downloading the app for yourself.
MLB.com's Ann Rogers will join us next from Kansas City, and we'll talk Cards Royals here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Ann Rogers covers the Cardinals for MLB.com and Cardinals.com. You can follow Ann on Twitter at Ann, A-N-N-E, underscore Rogers. That's R-O-G-E-R-S. Ann Rogers joins us now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN. And with Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji, this is Randy Carricker. Thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Yeah, no problem. I'm good. How are you guys?
Everything's good. I want to start with this because you had a chance to talk to Randy Arozarena yesterday. He's in the lineup tonight, and it sounds like an interesting information to him. He was informed in an interesting way about how he was getting to the major leagues.
Yeah, he said he was sleeping, and the AAA manager, Ben Johnson, called him, and Randy thought he was dreaming. So he called Ben back and asked, you know, is this real? Am I really going to the Cardinals? And Ben said, yeah, go get on a plane. So, yeah, Randy's here, and he's in the lineup. He's excited to join the team.
Dreams never work out that way. It's always the disappointment side. He got the good side of it. Good for him. Now, everybody's excited about tonight. He's going to be in the lineup tonight. He's hitting ninth, and everybody knows the numbers and that he's put up at AAA. He's been amazing. He's been fantastic. Have you got, from being around the club the last couple of days, and have you got a lean or any information on how they expect to use him? He didn't play the first game. He's in there today. How do you think they'll deploy him?
Yeah, I think it'll kind of be fluid. Obviously, he's going to be competing for time with Lane Thompson. We know that Lane has been inserted in the lineup, and he's made an impact. So I think what Mike Schilt will be doing is kind of see, you know, based on matchups, obviously he knows their games. So just kind of see who fits better in the lineup that day, maybe, you know, split that time, maybe get someone in the later innings of a game. But it'll be kind of interesting to see how that plays out. They have really similar games. They're both center fielders. They both have aggressive bats, and they both have a lot of speed on the bases. So it'll be fun to see how kind of they use that competition, I guess you could say, to see who gets the playing time.
And we've seen this team go through offensive struggles. Even last night against a Royals team that's not particularly good, they score a couple of runs. They get the win, and that's ultimately the most important thing. But
still, they want more offense, and they did make a change this week, firing Mark Budaska because of it sounds like there's some philosophical differences. How bad of a difference was it in the clubhouse that led to this?
No one really come out and say it, you know, overtly, but it sounded like, you know, Jeff Albert, he's really heavy into analytics. He relies on the technology, the modern game, the way that a lot of teams do. That's how he helped the Astros to the World Series. But and then Mark Budaska was more of a field guy. He simplified things a lot in the cage for the players, and he operated more on field. And I think that's where the differences lined up. It wasn't so much of, and this is how Schilt described it, it wasn't so much of that they want one way of doing things in the clubhouse, but they want to be, you know, compatible. And I think that's where there was kind of maybe not so much collaboration there when they talked about the differences of opinion when it came to hitting. So it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, like you said, the offense needs to heat up. They can't just score two runs and rely on Jack Flaherty, you know, pitching seven scoreless innings every single game. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of try to break out of this slump. Maybe, you know, Randy Arozarena will be that spark that they need. Certainly if he hit the way in Memphis that he did, he can be a spark. So, but yeah, you're right. They need to break out of this slump here, especially when, you know, they face the Brewers, Cubs later down the stretch.
MLB.com's Ann Rogers with us on 101 ESPN. And Ann, they can count on Jack Flaherty to throw seven scoreless innings every time he takes the mound, though.
I guess they can. Yeah, he's done that three times. So,
what do you see as the difference in Jack between these last half dozen starts and what we saw earlier in the season when he wasn't as successful?
Yeah, I think he's a guy who can really build on start after start, and we've seen that, obviously, but really comes down to effectiveness with his fastball and his slider. Those two, that combo is really, he can use those really well. He has control of his slider and command of it. Control of his fastball and command of it, and then he mixes in the slider there to get the strikeouts. It's really fun to watch him pitch right now because he knows what he's doing. He knows where he wants to put the pitch, and he puts it there, and he's getting hitters to swing and miss a lot more on that slider, and that's been effective. But he also, like last night, I wrote about how he doesn't have to rely on his strikeouts as much as he did in these earlier starts. He can get that weak contact. He can trust the defense behind him, and that's really what's been effective for him.
It's definitely part of learning the game is you don't have to get the strikeout all the time to get out. You get deeper and deeper into ball games. A guy that the Cardinals would love to see get deeper and deeper into games, and is Michael Wacha. The fifth starter spot has been an issue all year. It's been him and Ponce kind of in and out, hoping somebody grasps it. He gets the chance against Cincinnati tomorrow. How long of a leash do you think Michael Wacha will have?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm not sure, quite honestly. You know, Ryan Helsley hasn't pitched in a really long time, actually, since Michael Wacha pitched last week against the Dodgers. So if Wacha gives up a few runs, then I wouldn't be surprised if Helsley would be in there for the middle innings to kind of shore things up as the Cardinals try to, you know, look to do some damage offensively, and Ryan Helsley can shore down those middle innings. But it remains to be seen how Michael Wacha does. He certainly hasn't ran with the start. They're giving him another chance, but it'll be interesting to see how he does tomorrow.
The same thing can be said for Dakota Hudson, who has in his last three starts not been able to get into the fifth inning, and that's a problem. We know that. We know the Cardinals need to get more innings out of their starters. Do they expect that something that will correct here as we get deeper into the season? Because you would think that it would be actually harder for him to do that.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've seen that how, you know, the starters have kind of gone. There's been ebbs and flows to their starts. They've gone deep into games, and they've, you know, haven't gone deep into games. I think Dakota's last start, he went four innings, but it was kind of a weird start for him because he only threw 49 pitches, and one of the decisions to pull him was they wanted to get that offense going, and they had a really fresh bullpen because of quality starts from, I think, Miles and Jack the 2 days before. So I think that was part of the reason to pull Dakota after four. He had given up a few runs, but it wasn't anything too damaging. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how long he can go tonight. He's obviously really fresh. He only threw those 49 pitches. So I think you'll see you might see the starters being able to go deeper and deeper into games as the season goes. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Aaron Rodgers, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work at MLB.com, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. That is Aaron Rodgers. You can read her work at Cardinals.com, and of course follow her on Twitter at @Ann_Rodgers. Brewers rookie Trent Grisham hit a three-run homer in the bottom of the eighth inning, and now in the top of the ninth, Milwaukee has a lead over Minnesota 6-5. The Brewers are really struggling. Josh Hader is really struggling. He's allowing homers left and right, and that's a huge home run. We'll see if Minnesota, with two outs in the ninth, can come back. They do have two runners aboard. And the Brewers manager is kind of avoiding Hader now. He hasn't pitched today, even though they have the one-run lead. Matt Albers is into the game. Alex Claudio started the ninth. Albert got an out, and they'll try to have him close out the game rather than Hader. But if the Brewers can come away with a victory against the Twins, that'll be huge for them.
Yeah, I know that this is very short-sighted, and I made the same exact mistake last year. I'm not worried about the Brewers. I'm not. I feel like they have so many deficiencies that it's not going to happen. When you ride a bullpen incredibly hard for an entire year, you have to know at some point it's going to break down again. They haven't addressed their starting pitching. I'm not worried about them. Now, does that mean that the Cardinals are going to beat them? No, not necessarily. It just means I've got one team in the division I'm scared of.
Are you more worried of the Brewers or the Mets in terms of the wild card?
The Mets, I think, because of the starting pitching depth.
I think I might be as well. I think it's close, but I think I'm leaning Mets now, which is absurd. Because 2 months ago, I never even would have thought.
At the trade deadline, they were done.
Yeah.
Remember Buster Olney coming on ESPN and laughing and saying, I have no idea what Brody Van Wagenen is doing because the Mets are not contending this year.
And well, there's still a month and a half, and maybe he'll turn out to be right. That, you know, we could get through the next couple of weeks and things could totally fall apart for them. And so ultimately he would be right. But I can't believe they're in the position they're in now.
If you've ever seen Billy Madison, you know about the life-size penguin that terrorized him throughout the movie. Did you know those penguins actually exist? That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.